Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 763, and we're recording it on November 4th, 2025. We're not?
We're recording
it on November 4th?
We are. No, I was shaking
Her head from across the internet, and I said, I double-checked the date here. You're not listening to it on November 4th, but we're recording it on November 4th. So we are recording early, a show about technology and ministry. And the other end of the microphone over there that you heard is Sally Draper. And she's going on a trip. So we're recording early.
Right.
Hello, Sally.
You got it. Hi, Martin. I'm happy to be joining you this afternoon. I was shaking my head because it seems like we just talked about stuff not that long ago. And it's true because we just recorded last Thursday. And here we are Tuesday, less than a week later, and having the opportunity to record again. So remember those days?
We have more things to talk to. Yes.
Yeah. We used to record once a week and now it's every other week. And
it still seems like it comes up fast.
It does. It does. So, yes, I'm heading south, hallelujah, and going to be in Branson, Missouri for a few days enjoying my sister's company. We're having a little family meetup. Nice. And in the process, very much looking forward to going to the Sight and Sound Theater in Branson. I don't know if you've heard about this.
I have not.
But they have like a Broadway-style type production, a really elaborate production. And right now it's of the life of David, King David from the Bible. They do different biblical stories. And just watching some of the background videos of them developing this and everything, it's going to be super impressive. They have live animals and all kinds of staging and in the audience and all kinds of stuff like that. But they also have a screen behind them that's as big as this massive stage with so many bajillion LEDs in it that, for instance, when they're fighting battles or when the valley's full of another army or something, you're going to see that and feel that as if there really are, you know, those vast number of people and things like that. So I can't wait to experience it.
Neat. That's awesome. So
good.
A little bit further south. Hopefully you don't come back to the white stuff.
Oh, that would be really depressing. Let's don't go there. Not yet. It's been a great fall.
Right. Speaking of the white stuff though, we're actually looking forward to maybe visiting Chicago. And yeah, sometimes the weather in January is not all that great, but we have an indoor venue where we're hosting the Lutheran Leadership Conference. And we've been having some interviews lately, and we have another one today about from and talking with some of the presenters that are going to be speaking there at the Lutheran Leadership Conference. And we snagged another one, Sally. We had a chance to talk with John Rocci, who is the CIO and Director of Technology at Kent State University. And we know John because he was with us down in Doral, Florida. Wasn't he? Yes.
Yes.
He was with us at the Wells
AI
Tech
Summit.
AI Summit. And I've seen him since. He's in these parts, and we know some of his family as well. But he is talking about planning that works, so strategic planning concepts and how those are important in the life of a congregation, a church, and a school, and give us a little bit of a teaser about what he's going to be talking about in that breakout. So without further ado, let's play our interview that we had with John and strategic planning. Joining us today on Wells Tech is John Rocci, the VP of IT and CIO at Kent State University and speaker at the upcoming Lutheran Leadership Conference. Hey, John, thanks for joining.
Martin, thank you. It's a pleasure to share time with you and who might join in.
Right. No, really appreciate your time. I know you've got a busy schedule. Maybe just introduce yourself a little bit to our audience, work, family, church, ministry-related interests and activities. Just give us a little bit of a perspective on John Rachi.
Well, I appreciate that. Martin, I'm like many of the people you work with every day. I care about what I do. I care about the people I'm involved with. And I've been married to my beautiful bride, Lori, for 38 years. We have a couple of children who are both married, and I now am blessed to have five grandchildren.
Awesome.
And what's really interesting about all of this, Martin, is I've been, my vocation has been, pretty much in the technology world. And both of my children have found their way into the ministry, one as a minister, one who has married a minister, and also in school-related work, spouses are involved, my daughter being that, and my daughter-in-law also. So God's been good in a lot of different ways there. I'm currently the president of our local congregation, Our Savior, in Strongsville, Ohio. Work with a tremendous group of people there, congregation that cares. And yeah, that's kind of me in a semi-nutshell. But glad to share the time.
And you kind of are a perfect fit for a Wells Tech conversation because we kind of marry technology and ministry, and that sounds like both are interests of yours. So probably makes you a great speaker for the Lutheran Leadership Conference as well. So you are leading a session or a breakout called, I'm just bringing it up here, Planning That Works. Tell me a little bit more about maybe the genesis of why we've got you talking on that topic.
Yeah, well, thank you. In a large part, it is conversations I've had with Pastor John Hine in working with him a bit in congregational counseling and thinking about how do congregations move from A to B? And in mostly volunteer organizations, sometimes that can be a bit of a struggle. In corporate worlds where I live, there's typically people, there's staff, there's structures that help a large body identify their objectives and their roadmap and then the activities that take you forward. But how do you do that well in a volunteer organization where we have called one or more people to minister to us and to help us grow in our understanding of scripture and then present our faith in action out in our communities? But there's work that goes into that to keep
For
everything
sure.
going. So, just through those conversations, planning that works, I'm here to do my best to represent what that means, perhaps in this context, and perhaps share some experiences that both have been not as successful and more successful in outcomes. So, that's what I'm hoping
Interesting.
for and planning for as we get into January.
So let's talk a little bit, focus, most specifically on the planning process for a congregation. I think all congregations plan whether they know it or not, or whether it's good or bad. What are kind of the critical things that they should be keeping in mind as they enter any kind of planning process? What are the must-haves, maybe?
I think the must-haves perhaps are somewhat basic, and I don't know if they're obvious or not because sometimes we overlook the obvious. But in planning, we want to understand where we headed. What is it that our objective is? What has God gifted us with in our local congregation that we can leverage to the benefit of the kingdom? What do we know about our surrounding area? What do we know about ourselves? And how can we do our best to then identify ways to enhance the things we do or perhaps present those things more effectively, either internally, externally, or both? And so some of the ingredients, just boiling it back down, is what do we know about ourselves and about our community? What is the course that we believe God has put us on to advance his kingdom? And then, probably understated and underserved is communication. What are we communicating about that plan so that we can align people in a volunteer organization, critically important, so that people know they can plug in and where to plug in and who to connect with to plug in even further. So those are some thoughts, Martin, on kind of what are some basic principles to get us moving forward?
Makes total sense. Let's talk a little bit about the people involved. That's obviously one of the critical functions in any congregation is getting the right people in the right places, talking about the right things. So in the planning process, who needs to be at the table and what does that process look like?
Perhaps the first thing we think about is putting this all in prayer to our Lord, asking for wisdom and guidance. And so that might start initially with the pastor and the council, right? Just thinking, how do we take what God has equipped us to do and move that forward? So maybe that's step one. Then two, I think this goes back to that earlier question you asked. Do we know enough about our congregation, perhaps, to bring some people into a conversation to get ideas? What do you see from sitting in a pew or maybe teaching Sunday school or whatever it is that your role or maybe just your participation in a service is all about so that we hear more, so that we can formalize some things around who we are, what we do well, and what opportunities might exist, and what gaps might exist and that hinder us from doing some of those things better.
So let me follow up on that. So the people are obviously critical. The plan is important, so having the right people engaged and, knowing your congregation, like you mentioned. What I've seen a lot happen in congregations is even if they have a plan, the execution is sometimes a challenge. So not just the project management, one thing that escaped the congregation. In the life of, our school, it's made up of a series of projects. A lot of these projects get stuck. How would you encourage a congregation to kind of track so that those projects don't just die on the vine, get stuck, and they can't get any traction? What's the secret sauce there? The things that a nation can kind of do to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and Martin, you were clipping a bit on me, so I'm not certain if that will come through in the podcast or not, but I believe I got your question pretty clear. And that is, how do we sustain what we started out to do? And what I would say in all of that is the plan should account for that. The plan should be able to identify for us who are the responsible persons or groups who are moving something forward. So I think about that in layers. We have this strategic thing that we call a strategic plan, and that is this kind of thing on a page, if I can make it that simple, that says we're going to do these four things, and within those four things, we're going to achieve each of those four by doing these two, three, or four things. So you've identified a direction. You've identified some clear goals or objectives, and then you've laid out something that's going to help those goals or objectives meet a better outcome. And we typically time bound these things. We typically identify what our current position is and maybe what a successful position might look like. And we see whether or not we're making that change. Then we apply the right resources to it. And then we report back on it. How are we doing? Should we adjust anything? Are there new environmental variables that we didn't have when we started this that maybe suggest we should adjust our course or maybe put more into this? So what I'm saying with a lot of words is this: we want to create a plan. Some people call it a smart plan, specific, measurable, attainable, time-based, right? Those sorts of things, resource-enabled. But really what has to happen then is we have to talk about it. We have to ask ourselves, and I lay this on the president primarily, and then committee leaders, to all work in concert, and be accountable to each other for how we're doing. And sometimes in a volunteer organization, our initial time-bound projections or thoughts don't meet up. And so we just need to re-encourage each other. Like, hey, are we still on the right path? All right, let's just adjust the time frame then. So maybe one word to boil this all down. And then I'll add another one. So two, communicate and be accountable. Communicate and be accountable. And from my chair, I'd like to say I'm doing this great. The truth is we're doing it the best we can. And you can always look back and say, wow, we really could have done that better, Martin.
Yeah, it's really a nuanced, delicate situation. Like in an organization, you have KPIs and performance, incentives, those kinds of things. Very different in a volunteer organization
It
where you're
is.
kind of walking a line. You're dealing with volunteers who are maybe out of their comfort zone, in some cases. So there's a delicate balance of accountability, giving them the right tools, and then encouragement, right?
That's exactly right. And I'll just say this, and I firmly believe this, and it's not just because we're in a church. The word leads. I've found in different settings, Martin, that when we gather around the word and align ourselves and work in unity, we may think this is our pathway, but we're moving, we're action oriented. God may bless us over here, but if we didn't do these things, we wouldn't have been ready for what God blessed us in these other areas. And so my encouragement will be that even if it's small, identify it and then begin to move towards that thing. Plans don't always have to be this grandiose thing. I use, for my planning, I like to use something called objectives and key results or OKRs. And they're simple because they give you the strategic perspective. Maybe I'll have three or four objectives for a congregation, maybe only one. But then the key results then become the tactics. This is the work that we agree we're going to do to advance this thing. And you can report back on each one of those two or three tactics to your congregation. And communication typically is always our weak, our weak suit.
For sure.
It's the thing we can always do better.
All right.
And then there are the operational plans we have to do. What is the maintenance facility doing day in and day out to ensure the worship facilities in good, proper order? What is the stewardship committee doing to ensure that the resourcing and the people are able to use their talents and the resources God's blessed them with? So a lot of these things just work together. But to your point at the very top of our discussion, how do we do those things together in a way that really creates alignment and impact? And then why are we having this discussion called planning that works? It's because it sounds so simple, but we just need to find a way to actually make it simple in whatever environment we're in. And that's hopefully part of what we'll be able to present and share when we talk in January.
Yeah, you don't have a long time. I'm doing a breakout session too, and you kind of have to hit the highlights and hopefully drive home a few key take homes. Who, if somebody's trying to consider, there's a lot of breakouts that they could choose from at the leadership conference. Who's kind of the ideal? Who's the target market? Who's going to get the most out of this conversation with your topic?
I'd like to say anyone who just simply wants to advance. Maybe you're somebody who has years of experience in planning, I think there's something there for you. Maybe you're uncertain what that even means in a volunteer organization. I believe there's something there for you. I have been in the industries I'm in for 40 years, and planning strategy type sessions are ones I'm drawn to because there's always a nugget that you're picking up from somebody else. And those nuggets are like, in this environment, that nugget actually might work just a little better than how I had been doing that. So I'd encourage anybody who is thinking about how do we take the next step? And not just take the next step, but ready ourselves for the steps after that. Let's have a fun conversation together.
Just a culture of planning and delivering. Really, something we want to build, and goes right along with kind of the theme of the Lutheran Leadership Conference too. Is just creating a good culture, in a congregation that focuses on the right thing. So John Rotchie is leading planning that works at the Lutheran Leadership Conference here in January. Registration is open for that, so take advantage of that. John, thanks so much for taking the time with me. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Martin. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John, for taking the time. It was a quick turnaround. Sometimes we just kind of think of these, and then we go through our list and we say, well, maybe we could get so and so to come on the show. And John was good enough to spend some time with us, and a nice deep background in that, I'm sure, at Kent State, but as president of his congregation, a responsibility and something he takes very seriously. And sounds like he's got some excellent advice to share. If you are attending the Lutheran Leadership Conference, some time well spent maybe listening and talking to John.
Yeah, definitely. A man with a lot of knowledge and experience. And I was thinking, and maybe he mentioned this in the interview, I apologize, I haven't heard it yet, but about how the church is such a different animal than most organizations. And having worked in a variety of jobs over the years, sometimes there's strong top-down management direction, and everybody knows what's expected of them, and you follow the rules exactly or whatever. And other times it's maybe more relaxed, but still it's your job and you achieve things. Typically that affects your paycheck and things like that. Church isn't like that at all. So, having these discussions about strategic planning are probably a lot more important in that kind of setting where it's a little harder to define.
It's hard even in an organization, and John and I touched on this real briefly. It's hard enough in an organization where there are, benefits and bonuses and compensation tied to it. You take all that out, and it's a whole different approach. There's certainly incentive to work for the Lord, of course, but there's a little bit different accountability model and just an encouragement model that doesn't necessarily exist in their traditional workplace. So he's going to
Definitely.
talk about all of that. And I think if you want to sign up for the Lutheran Leadership Conference, that would be a great workshop to, or breakout, I think they're calling them to attend. So just a reminder, Lutheran Leadership Conference is January 19th to 20 to 21, 19 to 21, next year, next February or January at the Hilton in Chicago. Signups are now open, so take advantage of that.
The registration cost is $2.99 per person, but that ends quite soon on November 15th. And then the registration pops up to $3.49 a person. The deadline for registering is November 30th, but I would almost guess it's going to fill up and it might close even sooner if you aren't careful. So get your registration in. This conference is, I think, in its third iteration and it's sold out both times previously. So definitely check out the rooms that are available at the Chicago Hilton. Staying at the Hilton is not quite like staying anywhere else. It's a whole nother level, and it's such a beautiful place. And you can say you stayed where Queen Elizabeth stayed, and I think JFK as well. So it's quite the place. The room rate is only $129 a night. I don't think you'll get that kind of bargain anywhere else, and for it to be at the Chicago Hilton is
Yeah.
extra special. So
Stay where Sally Draper stayed.
there you go. So exciting.
Right. And I will be there, Sally. I don't think you are planning on being
Not
there, but
this
I've
time.
got a breakout, and so you can hobnob with me if you like. But there's all kinds of people there that are going to be kind of singularly focused on, leadership in the Lutheran context, and it's a good 3 days. So put it on your calendar.
Plus, kind of a
Oh,
happy family reunion happening like all over the
for
place.
sure. Yes, 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 yes.
So.
So thanks again, John, for taking the time and talking with us. So let's move on to ministry resources. And this is kind of related to Lutheran Leadership Conference because a lot of the things that you're going to hear there are around the four pillars of our Christ Through Us strategic plan. And those are culture, congregations, commission, and calling. If you are following along at home and were in church, potentially you heard the Wells Connection focused on that fourth pillar, calling, producing workers for a growing harvest. And we'll point you to that section of the website. You can see the video there, but there are all kinds of resources being planned, and you can kind of get a sense for what might be coming and some things that you can do now, and why this is an important pillar in our strategic planning process. Speaking of planning, super important that we train up these workers. So, all kinds of information on the website. You can learn more about our worker training system from top to bottom, links to all of them there, and just kind of track the progress of that goal. And there's a little connect button on the website that I would encourage you to press, to click, to tap, that will keep you connected with the long range strategic plan. This is a 10-year plan that we put together called Christ Through Us. So take advantage of that.
That's great. I wasn't familiar with Connect, so I'll have to sign up myself.
Yep.
So,
Very good.
yeah.
Sally, should we move forward to our picks of the week?
Think it's that time. And mine is actually a Facebook pick. And I think you could probably find this company in other places as well. But Facebook is where a lot of people live and get updates and things. And one thing I would recommend adding to your feed is liking the page done by a company called Total Defense, which is basically about internet security or cybersecurity. And the reason I'm recommending it is because they basically have a daily tip that they share with their Facebook page. So this would come into your feed where they have like a blog post each day talking about different cybersecurity. What would you call it? Reinforcing your awareness of potential, downfalls and stop doing things that might get you in trouble or whatever with your personal information. So, for instance, today's or the one released yesterday, I guess they haven't released today's yet, is to stop posting. You can use something like Apple Pay that replaces your card number with a useless code and makes every transaction safer. And they go in and explain tokenization and things like that, so you have a better understanding. Yesterday, it was about not clicking on using your admin account on your computer for everything, because that's just an invitation to trouble if you let malware get on your admin account. This one was about not clicking on links when people are sending out so many, especially in the flurry of holiday shopping that we're just gearing up to. So they come across with a nice identifiable image with their logo and things, and they all have the link back to the blog post on their website that explains and gives you guidance and things. The reason I thought of this, I figured someone was doing it and I kind of looked for it. Is because we at the Synod get regular reminders through our vendor Know Before. And I think that's probably the most effective thing I've had in my cybersecurity training is the nonstop regular reminders, pay attention to this, do this, do that, because it's just so easy to forget and to click the wrong place and everything. And so even if you just follow this Facebook page, which is free to do, and get these daily tips, I think it could be a good defense for you to just read the headlines and go, oh yeah, I'm going to be diligent about not clicking links. I'm going to make sure my Amazon account has two-factor authentication on it. I'm going to do this or do that. They have a lot of great suggestions, and they have been vetted, and it's a legitimate company and everything. And I think that they do a good job of keeping it in front of you. So,
Nice.
Facebook.com/total defense, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Well, disclaimer, we don't know anything about the company, but that seems like the tips are right on. So cool. All right, my pick of the week is, I don't know if we've ever really explored this. Maybe it's been somebody's pick, but probably not mine. WhatsApp is an app probably on many of our phones. It is a chat app like Google Messages or iMessage, but it is kind of what the rest of the world uses. It's probably far more popular than we realize, used in many, many different countries. And I, to be honest, have not used it a lot. Occasionally, in communicating with my brother-in-law, who's over in Africa, so that's what he uses. But my daughter is over in Southeast Asia right now, and she is using it to send pictures and communicate with her in real time. And I have been extremely impressed with the features and functionality that WhatsApp brings to the table. It's got a lot more than many of the others. Certainly than Google Messages, and I think more than iMessage as well. Really quality tool sets and lots of things that you can add on. And I know if you talk to anybody who kind of lives in the WhatsApp world, mostly internationally, it's kind of the hub of everything. It's how you pay for things, how you communicate, how you share information, how you share files. It is a really nice, in my opinion, just at least from the little time I've been investing in it now lately, a nicely developed communication app. So I don't know if it will ever catch on, stateside, but I think as our world becomes more and more global and our communications are more and more global, this certainly is a platform to consider to get that communication flowing. Sally, you ever use WhatsApp?
I have not. I've certainly heard plenty about it, but it's not one that I've delved into.
Yeah, they do a nice job at the ability to block entire chats or individuals. It's super simple to do that. The just the whole experience is a good one. They tie it to your phone number. You can there is I believe there's a way to do it via the web, but they really tie it to a phone number, and then seems like security is pretty good as well. So again, I'm not a WhatsApp aficionado at all, or a lot of experience with it, but I'm sure some of our listeners are. So if you've got feedback on your experience with WhatsApp, I know we use it extensively when we talk to like the Tel network people. They live on that platform, and it's been a good ministry tool as well. So just something to keep in mind.
Excellent.
That's my pick of the week.
All right.
Let's move on, Sally, to our community news and feedback segment.
Sure. And this week we want to feature our Wells Tech Google group. Which is a place for asking and answering questions related to technology and ministry. Hundreds of people out there waiting to dive in and answer your questions if you have them. And
216 right now, to be
there you
exact.
go. Recently, Martin shared a little on the Wells Tech Google group. You want to tell us about what you're looking for, Martin?
Yeah, we have a Wells Information Security Committee, and the charter requires that we have two CMMers in two areas of ministry, and then two lay people who are not Synod employees but have security experience. So we have an opening. Right now, one member who can't serve any longer. We have one who is serving, but we're looking to fill that other spot. So if you or somebody you know has some security experience and would be interested in serving on this committee, we meet about quarterly, and our primary purpose is to kind of examine our security practices and procedures and policies, just to make sure we're on solid ground there, make recommendations, approve significant policies that do have Synod-wide implications. But if you've got some of that experience or have interest in it, I'd love to hear from you. So get in touch with me and let me know.
And no travel required, is that correct?
No travel required. We do it all virtually. So,
very good. The power of Zoom, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. One other that we'll mention, this one actually just posted this afternoon. Our friend Ryan Rosenthal, who's out at Nebraska Lutheran High School, I believe, says they're looking to transition to school-owned Chromebooks and would be grateful to anyone who's willing to share their school policy, especially high schools or schools that allow students to take the machines home. And I know we've had conversations around that and different policies in the past, but it's been quite a while, I believe.
It has,
so
yeah.
Be interested to see if there's some new policies shared or updated policies, as I'm sure we have to, just like your committee has to review and update policies, schools and such have to do the same. So
if somebody wanted to respond to Ryan or join the conversation or ask their own question, how would they do that, Sally?
Boy, that's a great question. So the easiest way is to head over to the Wells Tech website. You'll find that at wellstech.wells.net. And there you're going to find all 763, it will be, podcast. So that whole history going back almost 20 years now, as well as have the ability to comment on any of those, to reach us through social media channels, including the Wells Tech Google group, which is represented by a little icon with people on it. So look for that and you'll head right over to Wells Tech Google group and be able to click to join. But we're on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, all the fun places. And you can add comments on any of those channels as well, or message us through any of those channels. And Martin and I both see those comments. We can even take an old-fashioned email, which is wellstech@wells.net, if you want to reach out to us that way.
Very good. We really encourage people to join that conversation. Sally, I think that's going to about do it this week. Blessings on your travels. Have a fun time down in Branson, Missouri. And hopefully you come back refreshed. And the next time we do get together, we'll have some of our friends with us, Rachel Reno and Jason Schmidt, will join us to talk about education and technology. So tune in for that. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.